Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I don't know when you got taller. See our reflection in the water. Off a bridge at the Huntington. I hopped the fence when I was 17. Then I knew what I
That was the first song on Phoebe Bridgers' new album called Garden Song. Not the first track. The first track is actually a 1 minute and 10 second piece of music titled DVD Menu, a dreamy and eerie instrumental placed before the propulsive first actual song, which seems very Phoebe Bridgers. The world was introduced to Bridgers on her 2017 debut album, Stranger in the Alps. The breakout track, Motion Sickness, made it on Pitchfork's list of the best songs of the decade. Since her debut, Bridgers has teamed up on side projects with contemporaries and with musicians who paved the way for her brand of emo folk. In 2018, she released an EP with Lucy Dacus and Julian Baker as Boy Genius. That is a great NPR Tiny Desk concert, by the way. Last year, she and Bright Eyes' Connor Obst put out an album, Better Oblivion Community Center, and she even played a Christmas song with Jackson Browne. On Punisher, Bridgers brought a bunch of her collaborators and friends into the studio. That low voice in Garden Song is her touring manager. On the official album credits, she thanks some of those helpers for, quote, emotional and lyrical support. You can hear the weight of Bridgers' emotional lyrics on songs like this one called Moonsong.
Now I am dreaming and you're singing at my birthday.
Punisher shows off Phoebe's singular, specific voice, painstakingly detailed, blunt, funny in a sad way, and kind of haunting. I'm so happy to welcome Phoebe Bridgers to the show. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So many of these songs, they seem like little stories or descriptions of moments in time, which makes me wonder, who are some of your favorite authors? Who are some of your favorite storytellers?
I'm a sucker for J.D. Salinger, most recently Carmen Maria Machado. Mm-hmm. I just finished a bunch of Margaret Atwood. Dark inner monologues, I think, is the overarching theme.
And you brought up Carmen Maria Machado. She has created a sort of an incredible bio for you for this project. Can you describe that for our listeners and how it came about?
Yeah. I sent it to my friend Emily and she texted me, if I knew that writing Phoebe Bridgers fan fiction was a job, I would have, you know, quit my day job forever ago. But it is basically like fan fiction. It's so beautiful. It's really, really surreal. It's kind of hard to describe, but it reminds me, if you've read any of Carmen's work, seeing myself in that lens was... Mm-hmm. Is definitely a high point of my life. It came about because I'm just such a big fan and we reached out kind of trying to come up with some creative bio ideas and then we're friends now, which is wild.
when you write your songs, how much does it have an autobiographical tinge or are you making up characters?
Yeah, I think, a lot of what Carmen and I talk about, which is really weird, is sometimes I have to trick myself into telling the truth where I'm like, I don't actually feel like this right now, but I could. And then years later or in retrospect, I'm like, oh, I was just talking about myself, mm-hmm. but I couldn't really admit it at the time. So I think it's very autobiographical, even in ways that I can't be in daily life.
So as I mentioned, that low voice we hear on Garden Song is your tour manager. How did that come about?
Well, Mitski's record came out summer 2018 and, mm-hmm. and we were on tour and he was driving us and he's 6'7", I think Jeroen is. So he's really tall and
wow.
His voice is two octaves below mine. And we were singing the Mitski album together in the van, and I was like, oh man, I have to record this. It reminds me of, yeah, Dutch magnetic fields.
6'7", wow. I got stuck there.
Yep.
So as we're making this album, you know, in terms of your own sort of creative growth and you're kind of being excited about the work you do, how important is it having new people come in and try things out?
Very. I think it took me a minute to get kind of a scene going, like a family of people that I really mm-hmm. trust. But adding people to that is really important because otherwise you just make the same stuff over and over, I think.
My guest is Phoebe Bridgers. The name of her new record is Punisher. So you self-produced this album along with, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tony Berg and Ethan Gruska? Is that how I say yeah?
Yep. Yes.
So after the success of your first album, how did you think about what you wanted to keep that worked before and what you wanted to evolve?
I think it all really had to do with me. Tony and I, in the first record, got in a lot of fights about what stuff should sound like or mm-hmm. if I should have any up-tempo songs whatsoever, because I was very opposed. I always love people's ballads. I think if it was a genre of music, I just love ballads. So Tony is the only reason that I make anything other than that. And this time we really leaned into our differences and yeah, we didn't get in one fight. I felt like we really built a dynamic on the first record. So most of what I wanted to change was just my confidence level, especially in writing. I think that the reason I like this record more is because I wrote all these songs as an adult. Like, I resonate with them in ways that some of the older songs on my first record, I don't.
That's so honest. So you can just openly say, like, yeah, this one's better for me. This record's better.
I like it better. I think it's a better record. Yeah.
Let's take a listen to a track from Punisher. This is called Savior Complex.
Baby, you're a
Savior Complex from Phoebe Bridgers' new album, Punisher. So you're also working with Rob Moose for the string arrangements, and he's worked with incredible people from like Bon Iver to Renee Fleming to John Legend, and he's, you know, sort of a unique person in the way he works. What did he bring to the album for you?
Well, in both cases, it's been kind of finishing touches, which, you know, I'm like, oh, my album's done. Let's have Rob. And we always count on, you know, having him on like 5 songs or so. And then we're like, okay, you're on all 10. Cause it just, yeah, it makes me feel like I make real music when Rob arranges things for me. He just takes it to a different level. Actually, the last song on the record, when he was recording it, which it has kind of an epic outro, I was jumping up and down in excitement and said, oh my gosh, it sounds like Sufjan Stevens. And he said, oh, that's the first thing I ever really worked on.
Wow.
That was satisfying. I was right.
Is that the song I Know the End, that one?
Yes.
You know, I've mentioned that you work with Boy Genius and you've worked in a lot of different sort of configurations with other people. How does working with others in groups affect your writing for solo work? Or is it vice versa? Does your solo work affect your writing with groups?
It's all pretty similar, although having worked with those two bands, Better Oblivion and Boy Genius, I mean, they literally affected this record because mm-hmm. I had Connor help me with songs that I was like, is this corny? Help me. and then Julian and Lucy, I would send them stuff back and forth. So just having a group of editors that I trust is amazing. But I mean, the truth is, with my own music, the best and worst part about it is that I get to call the shots. So I say, nope, it's done. Sorry. I know you don't like that part, but it's mine. And in a band, you have to compromise all the time. So,
but it's got to be good when you're working on your own when somebody challenges you, because if you really double down, you know you mean it and you know it's right. There's a certain thing where challenging
exactly.
can be very
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah, I know my ideas with how defensive that my ideas are good if I get really, really defensive if someone challenges me.
I'm talking to Phoebe Bridgers. The name of her new album is Punisher. Let's listen to the track Graceland 2, T-O-O, which features your bandmates Lucy Dacus and Julian Baker from Boy Genius. What is the story behind Graceland 2?
Well, Graceland 2 is a place, I actually don't think it's in Memphis. It's right outside of Memphis, but it's a Elvis super fan created his whole house to be an homage to Elvis. And so it's all this just really wild looking kind of just, you know, B squad Graceland. And it's really cool. And Julian, who's from Memphis, told me that the guy there used to, I think he's since passed away and it's closed, but he used to kind of sneak people in to show them the house at any hour. And it just, yeah, it,
wow.
I love stuff like that, like Atlas Obscura style stuff.
Well, let's listen to Graceland 2.
So we spent what was left of our serotonin to chew on our cheeks and stare at the moon. Said she knows she lived through it to get to this moment. Ate a sleeve of saltines on my floor, and I knew that I would do anything you want me to. I would do anything for you. I would do anything. I would do
That's Graceland 2 from the album Punisher. My guest is Phoebe Bridgers. So, you know, you can hear, obviously, acoustic, sort of folk, Americana, but did you also work in on the other end of the spectrum with electronica kind of music as well, and distortion, sound distortion? What can you do with that sort of electronic sound distortion? What does that communicate for you that acoustic or
yeah.
more string instruments can't?
Well, I think it's just a world that I hadn't really entered before. Mm. You definitely can't really hear it on my first record, but, you know, even the more acoustic-y songs, sometimes we would sample an acoustic into an iPad. I love just creating a sound that you've never heard before, and I think electronic instruments do that really well. I don't really have to be a gear nerd because every single person around me is. And I'm pretty easy to please. So if I hear something cool, my favorite thing to do in recording is delete things. So even if it sounds a little too wild, I'll say, go for it. And we'll worry about it later. And that's how we find some of my favorite sounds.
It sounds like you've been able to create a really good working, but also friendly, like friendship working group / family.
Mm-hmm. The trilemma, I think, is what Tony calls the,
oh, that's
the three
funny.
Of us with Ethan. Yeah.
is that a kind of situation that allows you to experiment and be more vulnerable because you know they have your back ultimately?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of my songs are really hard to show even people like my mom. Where I'm afraid I'm going to have some sort of really deep, gnarly conversation afterwards about how I'm doing okay. But with Tony and Ethan, that's maybe a 5-minute conversation. It's not like I don't feel like I'm being taken care of emotionally, but they're so used to me by now that I can say whatever I want. And then an hour later we're, you know, jumping around, laughing, experimenting. It's great.
And so I'm glad you brought up emotion, because we had Haley Williams on the show for when her album Pedal for Armor came out, Pedals for Armor, and Armor for Pedals. And she she talked about how she was using her music to channel her rage. And she said something about crying after tracking vocals to one song. Are you someone who works through your emotions through your writing and through your songs?
Well, she's my favorite ever, for one. But also, yeah. Yes, definitely. I think it takes me a minute, though, with music. I mean, I feel it's a theme on the record, but I think my main issue in life is my ability to dissociate. So sometimes it takes, like Sebastian, who played stand-up bass on Graceland, was, you know, just, man, he said, I can't listen to the song again. This is destroying me. Hmm. And then, you know, somebody in the room started crying, and then I kind of started crying. But I'd already written and sung the song tons of times. But sometimes with the first record, you know, it took me 2 years at a festival stage to see someone crying in the front row, you know, singing the words and me realizing, wow, these lyrics are really messed up, and having an emotional response. So sometimes it's delayed, but it definitely helps me work through it for sure.
I want to play the title track, Punisher. What does that mean?
Okay. A Punisher. This is my favorite word. It's someone who doesn't know when to stop talking, or more importantly, doesn't know that you're completely checked out. And sometimes it's a sweet person, like a fan who's a little overzealous, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who, for example, you know, someone in some local band when I'm playing their town, so, you know, mostly like an older man telling me about why I need a completely different pedal board, or that my sound guy isn't doing a good job. And I'm like, dude, stay in your lane. But they have no idea that I'm totally checked out and not listening to them and judging them. And I think that having a job where you just meet people all the time means that you run into those people every day. But in this song, I'm kind of talking about someone I would have punished, which is Elliot Smith, because we would have been neighbors if he were still alive. So in this thing, because I will walk home from the grocery store and on purpose walk by his old house. So I can't imagine what he would think of me if he were still alive and we were in the same place.
Well, let's listen to Punisher from Phoebe Bridgers. I have been on the receiving end of Punishers, and I've been one. Now that I've heard that, oh my!
Yeah, it's the best.
My guest is Phoebe Bridgers. I do have to say, your lyrics are just so great, and they're distinctive, and they're candid, and they're sometimes really funny and pointed at the same time. I don't know. Have you seen Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live's impersonation of your lyrics on Twitter? One of them, he wrote, I roller skated to the 7-Eleven. I didn't know he was a Scientologist. That's an example. Have you seen them?
Oh my gosh. It was beautiful. I like the last one too, about adopting a highway. Some other inappropriate stuff in there that I really love. Just, I mean, it's such a call out. It's like my thing is one very on the nose detail and then something super emotional next to it. And so that was perfect. The voice was perfect. I also saw someone on TikTok or something imitate me and say, like, I'm going to sing really quiet but too loud. I feel like that's exactly my voice. It's great.
That's so great. You have a sense of humor about, because it's ultimately, they're admiring your work. As I always say, like, you know, when you've been sort of sent up on Saturday Night Live by a very smart, funny person, it's, you've made it. It's like a, that's a marker, it's a benchmark.
I love it. I love it.
When you think about writing, is there anything that's off limits to you?
Sometimes, you know, I don't think about it till later, and I haven't really edited myself yet, but sometimes there's just one or two details where I'm like, ah, this will make it obvious to either fans or the person that it's about someone specific. But for the most part, I've been able to just avoid that and write a better lyric instead of the obvious thing. Sometimes I feel like it's a cop-out to do something too obvious. I don't think it's necessarily off limits, or I'll put it to the side and say, maybe I'll be able to release this in 5 years.
The name of the album is Punisher. It's by Phoebe Bridgers. We're going to go out on I Know the End. Phoebe, thank you so much for being with us. I know the end is here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.